Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. My name is Karen Watts, also known as Karen at PetOfTheDay.com, and we have Chicken Joe, Joe Barber, on the line. He is the host of the show for real. I'm just your humble little co-host. And today we have as our first guest, Vicki Black, whose book is Young Chicken Farmers. Welcome to All Paws Pet Talk, Vicki.
Thank you.
Yeah, tell us about your book, Vicki. I'm Joe.
And Hi, Joe.
I'm excited to hear about your book and all about it, how you got inspired to write this thing, and tell us all about it and the whole thing.
Oh, well, it all started with a little trip to a local pumpkin patch that had a flock of chickens. And we were looking for pumpkins that day, not chickens. But lo and behold, we had this just inspirational moment when my two-year-old was trying to feed blades of grass through the fence to these chickens, and just the laughter and how much fun they were having. I looked at my husband and I said, we should get some chickens.
That's how it
and
starts.
And there it, oh my gosh, you know, everything has to start somehow. Uh-huh. And, you know, I purchased every book I could get my hands on about raising chickens and building coops, and I did all kinds of internet research. And I just was getting these question after question after question. I have, at the time, a two-year-old and a five-year-old. And, you know, most of them I could answer. A lot of them I couldn't. And I looked for books for them that were appropriate for a young kid to help prepare them for what it was going to be like. You know, I had this fear that they were going to see these cute little fuzzy chicks and they were going to squeeze the life out of them. And I didn't want that to happen.
Right.
But, you know, the only thing I could find was books about, you know, what happens when a chicken lays an egg and chicks hatching out of eggs and just mm-hmm. books more about anatomy and chickens in general and not, you know, for young kids how to raise chickens. So
right.
I went out, I bought a camera, and we set forth on creating this book, which I am so excited about the way it turned out. I'm super happy with it. And it really is just targeted at how do you get kids involved with raising chickens, and it starts with picking your chicken, because you got to pick the right one. Karen was telling me kind of a horror story about a rooster that came after her and created some scars.
That happens to everybody who has chickens and roosters.
Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to make sure that we picked the right chickens and that I given people information about how do you pick friendly chickens that you can pick up and hug, because that's what kids want to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. What kind of chickens did you finally end up getting?
We ended up getting Buff Orpingtons.
Uh-huh.
And they are so, so friendly. We actually used the, I love the chicken breed finder on mypetchicken.com. You
uh-huh.
just plunk in information like, does it need to be cold hardy and do you want them to be friendly? And then it pops up all the breeds that are available that kind of meet your criteria. And as I read everything I could about all these chickens, we decided that Buff Orpingtons were going to be the best for us.
Uh-huh.
So that's what we ordered. We ordered them from a hatchery. I had a million questions from my kids about how are they going to ship these live chickens through the mail, and are they going to be okay when they arrive? And I was a little nervous about that myself. You know, am I going to peek in this box and find some peeping and some not peeping chicks? But really, that's where the book starts. It starts with picking out your chicken, and here's what it looks like when the box arrives, and here's what you need to put in a brooder. I talk about all important things that are, you know, pertinent to kids, like don't squeeze the life out of the chicks and make sure you wash your hands before and after you play with your chicks, because you don't want germs going, you know, both ways. We talk about the whole concept of that, you know, if you're got your chicks under a brooder lamp, you got to help them learn to not be afraid of the dark, because I experienced that firsthand. You put them out in that coop and that first night, they panicked.
Yes, they do.
As it started to get dark.
A little heat lamp. So, that's what I always use.
Yeah. And you're supposed to turn it off for 30 minutes a day so that they learn how, you know, that it's okay to be in the dark. And I learned that. It's true.
Yeah, it's true. And a red bulb. They always recommend a red bulb. You know, I at first couldn't understand that. And then that discourages pecking, you know, the pecking each other, the red bulb.
Yep,
apparently.
Because their little feet actually do look like worms. And when they can see them under a white light, then, that looks like something fun that I might have to go after.
Sure. So how many do you have?
I just have three. Because we just recently moved out into the country where we've got some acreage now, so I'm super excited to expand my flock, and I want to get some Americanas and some Wyandottes so I can get a couple different colors of eggs out there. But right now we just have the three Buff Orpingtons.
Oh, wow. Well, a lady down the road from me just got, she had chickens, and she just got some Silkies. You've heard of the Silkies, right? You know, they really don't have, it's like Silky. And she pampers this thing. She has a dog grooming parlor, and she grooms this chicken. She gives it baths and the whole thing. And this thing has turned right into just another person. I mean, what a pet. You talk about a pet. I've never seen Silkies like this. And she puts the blow dryer on this thing, and after she washes it, and the thing just sits there, you know, and it has a name and a special place in the house, and he goes out. And I mean, she's just turned this thing into a dog, you know. But I mean, and you go there, and the Silky runs to you, wants to be picked up and held. You know, she spoiled this thing from a chick, you know. So that's just a thought if you ever want a spoiled chicken, I guess. I don't know. I don't have any Silky. But.
Well, another thing to consider is Vicky is all the way up in Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
So, she has to take that into consideration, whereas you're in Florida, so you have to take that into consideration.
Right. Yeah. But I think Silkies would be okay up there as long as they had some cover or heat, you know. I don't know.
Yes, They pop up under cold hardy. Silkies are cold hardy. They can make it through up here as long as we give them a little bit of shelter and they're not getting that draft.
Right. Yeah. So that was a fun thing. So what else does the book get into that you for kids?
Yeah, the book also talks about when to move them out into their coop, and then I had the fabulous opportunity to go on this really fun chicken coop tour this past summer, and so I took a bunch of different pictures of different styles of coops because there is everything from an old doghouse to some really elaborate two-story chicken coop buildings with stained glass windows on them. So address some of the coop issues and predators. You know, when we first started this, I just knew we needed chicken wire and, you know, someplace where they could go inside. But a little weasel only needs a 1-inch hole to get into your coop and wreak all kinds of havoc.
And Joe, where he is, has to deal with hawks.
Hawks and owls. Oh. Big thing down here. And I'll tell you, the hawks and owls that literally sit in the trees and they don't move. You know, they don't care if you're there or not.
That's right.
So have you been successful at scaring them away?
Yeah, somewhat. I'll tell you what I do. This is my thing. I don't shoot them, but I go out with my shotgun and shoot in the air. And so far, that's worked. They don't come back for like weeks. But, you know, I think when they get hungry or whatever, you know, they always seem to show up over at my place sitting in the big trees around the coop. But my coops are all covered. They're wire on the top. And I also, for predators, I have my wire go into the ground about a foot and come out about a foot. And then I cover that with dirt. So raccoons and possums, because we have tons of those down here, they try to dig in there frequently, and that really discourages them. So that's a real good tip, especially up where you are, because I know you got hungry raccoons up there too.
That's right. Yeah. You know, we are almost out of time for this segment. Vicky, will you stick with us?
Absolutely.
Okay, and Joe and I will be right back with more All Paws Pet Talk Country Joe's Chicken Show. We'll be right back with more.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo, to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We are speaking today with Vicki Black, whose book is Young Chicken Farmers, Tips for Kids Raising Backyard Chickens. Now, one thing we were just talking about with Joe and Vicki is safety and predators.
Mm-hmm. Big issue, big issue. I think anywhere where you have chickens, because chickens are, everybody loves to eat chicken. And so, you know, and a lot of people don't take that into consideration, I don't think. You know, the tops on the coops, that was a real big expense for me, because I wired all the tops, because like I say, the hawks and the owls used to just fly down into it and get them. So, you know, that was the other thing. But burying the wire in the ground, I think, was very important too, because of the raccoons and possums and whatnot. So I think everybody ought to do that, you know, getting chickens. But, yeah, that's my safety tips. Those are my big two, in the ground and over the top. So, but Vicki, tell us about your book, you know, where we can get the book and the whole thing. Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's a hardcover book, and it's 32 pages in length, and every page has color photographs with kids interacting with chickens. Like I said, from the time that you get the chicks through the mail through the time that they start laying eggs, which is the most exciting things for the kids. So it's hardcover, lots of color photographs, really best targeted for young kids, maybe ages 3 to 8, who are either have chickens and you want to help them, you know, figure out how they can get involved, because it also talks about chicken chores and things like that. But the book can be ordered through by going to www.beaversponddbooks.com.
No apostrophe.
And you can, yeah, no apostrophe, beaversponddbooks.com. And you can search by the title or by the author. And just for special listeners today, if you use the coupon code chicken, that's easy to remember, then you get a 20% discount on the book.
Oh, my God. Okay, now how much is the book?
The book is $16.95. Mm-hmm. So with the 20% off, I believe it comes to about $13.
Wow, that's reasonable. Sure, sure.
And it is a beautiful book. It's got all the pictures of the different colors of eggs. And one thing that children might not know is it's not like Easter. One chicken lays one color of eggs.
That's true. That's true. Uh-huh. Well, that's good. Well, do you plan on writing any more books, or have you started any, or is that a secret?
Well, you know, I actually just last weekend, not chicken related, but went to a dairy farm, and I had this fabulous idea to write a book called Young Dairy Farmers, Tips for Kids Who Are, you know, about where milk comes from, and just starting from when the cow is born until it starts milking. That was just an amazing process. So that's sort of in the back of my mind, but I have a lot of events to promote this book this summer.
Sure. Boy, you can go do the whole barnyard tour now. And, you know, you can jump from goats to sheep to everything, I guess. You know,
but so,
you guys built your own coop, right?
We did, yes. My husband and my sons built it in our garage over the winter. And then hauled it outside and added the roof and the wiring right just the weekend before we got our chicks.
Wow, that's good. So how long have you had your chickens now?
We have had them almost a year.
Almost a year. Wow. So they haven't, well, they have. They started laying already, haven't they?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they are laying, and that is absolutely the most exciting part of every day is when the kids get to go out and find the eggs.
Uh-huh. And you eat your eggs, I hope. We got people that have chickens here that don't eat their eggs. I think, oh, I can't do that.
but, oh, but my gosh. No, my
What's
kids
the point
actually
of having
are sort
chickens
of eggs
if you don't
now.
Eat the eggs?
Oh, that's right. And they're the best.
Yeah.
The eggs are so orange because we feed them so much great stuff, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the important thing, yeah. But, yeah, I have people down here that go, oh, I can't eat my pet's eggs. Because I hear it all, I guess, around here. But that's the funny part. Yeah, I bumped into this woman. She hatches them. She loves hatching chickens and everything, but she won't eat the eggs. She buys my eggs off of my farm to eat. And I say, Renee, you know, Karen, you remember Renee. But
yes, she's been a guest.
Yeah, she won't eat her the eggs off her farm. She comes up here down the road and buys my eggs to eat.
Well, that's funny. I would think that would be one of the best parts of owning a chicken is you get to eat the eggs that you know where they came from and who they came from.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. God.
You know exactly what they've been eating.
That's it. That's the whole thing now. Matter of fact, I had a customer here the other day that said, I'm never buying a egg out of the store again. The whites were so runny. It was like water. I don't know how old the eggs were. And now she comes up here and gets two dozen a week, often by farm. She said, that's it. I'm never buying a store egg again. So, I mean, that's really important because you don't know how old these store eggs are. And at least you can take a little bit of control of your own food when you raise your own chickens.
That's right. And one of the things that Vicky's book does mention is if you don't know how old an egg is, and this is something that even little kids can do, and this is something I learned as a child, is you take a big container of water, and if the egg floats, you don't use it.
That's right, because the air pocket in there keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger the more stale it gets. Yeah, and that's true. So, yeah. That's interesting. That's a lot of fun to do with kids. You know, it's almost fun to let an egg go stale so they can see one float. I think
exactly.
I did that a long, long, long time ago. I said, gee, I'm going to prove this. So I left an egg out for I don't know how long. And I remember putting the water, goes, hey, it does float. You know?
Well, so, and if you, as you wait, as it gets older and older, it's, you know, the first thing it does is it sort of just tips up on its end. And then as it gets a couple of, you know, a little bit older, then it starts to slowly float higher and higher and higher in the glass. So you really can tell, you know, how bad is it? Is it just a little bit old or do we really just need to skip this egg?
It's true. Yeah, and that's a fun thing to do with kids, you know, play the egg game. And, well, that's really interesting. So your kids go out every day and gather the eggs and the whole deal, huh?
Yes, and we actually have to keep a little, keep track on the calendar whose turn it is, because if somebody gets to, you know, pick the eggs out of the coop out of their turn, boy, it's a big debacle in the household. So we definitely keep very close track of that.
Well, that's great. That's great. Really. So, well,
and that's a good way of keeping track of the health of your chickens, too, because if somebody all of a sudden stops laying, you know, you not only have to deal with whose turn it was to collect the eggs and why they didn't collect them, but then you have to know, you know, which chicken was it that might not be feeling well.
Well, exactly. And, you know, we have it's a bonus day when you get the day that you get all three of them laying an egg. So, of course, I have to remind them that that's out of my control who's laying eggs that day. So you might get one, you might get three, but we just take it as it comes if it's your day.
It's true. Especially now, do you leave a light on for them at night, you know, to get the 14-hour thing up where you are? Because that affects
them. Yes, you know. Yep, we've got a light on a timer in their coop, so it comes on at 5 in the morning and it shuts off at 7 at night. Then we have just a little tiny night light because I felt bad for them when they were scared of the dark, and so I started this when they were very young, and I put a night light in there, and so now my chickens have never been able to be in the complete dark. But they do get light during the day to make sure they stay warm partially, but then also just keep laying.
Yeah. Yeah, because I noticed that down here. Even with the light on down here, my egg production has gone down. I was just out in the coop this morning, and I'm going, oh, my God. You know, I got egg orders coming in here, and too many customers and not enough eggs. I'm thinking, oh, boy, I don't know if it's the time of year. You know, I'm running the light for them and everything, but, yeah, that's a big, big deal is running the light. And I'll tell you, when I first started this, I didn't do that, and they just almost stopped. It was amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Especially, you know, this is the time of year with the smallest amount of daylight. And I guess you get more down there in Florida than we get up here in Minnesota and Massachusetts, respectively. But everything out there is going to affect your chickens, both their mood and their health. You know, Vicki, I want to thank you so much for being with us. We are just running out of time. Uh-huh. You've been listening to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk. And Vicki Black's book is Young Chicken Farmers, and her last name is Black, just like the color. So you can find that online and get a copy for yourself. If your child wants chickens for Christmas, maybe give them the book and then work on learning before you actually get chickens.
It sounds fun. Yes, definitely. And thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's been a great time.
Okay.
And we'll be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We are here now with Monty Bowen. He is the Vice President for the Society for the Preservation of Poultry Antiquities. There, I got that all out.
Wow, that was good, Karen.
Yeah, that was great.
Mm-hmm. Well, Monty, let's talk about your chickens. You have some very rare chickens here, some Javas.
Yes, I keep black Javas and model Javas both.
Uh-huh. Well, tell us a little bit about them, how you got into this breed of chicken over the other breeds of chickens, or do you have other breeds of rare chickens?
Oh, I have a few. Those are the only large fowl I keep. The rest are Bantams, but I have Bantam Dominiques and Bantam Delawares and Nankins.
Wow.
A few white Leghorns, which aren't too rare, but we've got them anyway.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What got you into the Javas?
Moved back to Kansas after being away a few years, I was researching some rare breeds that I might want to use, and I found that the Javas could use a lot of help, so I contacted Garfield Farms in Illinois and had them send me some eggs and got started that way.
Oh, you hatched your own?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I hatch all my own.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. That's a fairly large chicken. I was looking here. They go like 9.5 pounds, huh?
Correct.
And go 7.5. Boy, that's a good-sized chicken.
Because we're on radio, do you want to describe them for our listeners? What does a black Java cock look like?
Well, he'll be about anywhere from 15 to 18 inches tall at the head. He has a nice arched neck going down to the shoulders, and the back is long and straight. If you can imagine a Rhode Island Red with a long, straight back on them,
mm-hmm.
the Java is about the same, long, straight back, with a tail that angles up about 50 degrees. They used to be called saddlebacks. So if you picture a saddle with the horn and the flat seat and then the cantle on the saddle being the tail, but the longer and straighter the back, the better they are.
Mm-hmm. Now, just how rare are these? Are they really critical? I guess
the black is more rare than the mottled. Most people that have them have mottled Javas.
Yeah.
And the blacks, they're coming on. There's been a lot of people get started with blacks over the years, but most of your old rare breeds are very slow growing, and a lot of people might have a Java for a year or two and then decide that it doesn't grow fast enough for them, and they move on to something else.
I'm just looking at the malted Javas. You know, they're black and white feathered.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. They have should be a little more black than white. There should be white on about every third to fourth tip of the feather.
Mm-hmm. And are they normally chickens you use for food chickens or laying chickens, or what is their normal purpose in life?
They're a multi-purpose breed. They're meat and eggs both.
Uh-huh.
And they're good foragers. They'll search for most of their own food if they've got range to move about on. And they're pretty efficient as far as converting commercial feed into layer feed, layer eggs and meat. It does take them quite a while to develop because they are a large breed.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. Yeah, for meat, how long would you raise them for meat? You know, the new modern meat chickens. You know, nine weeks. You got a meat chicken. You know.
Yeah, that's right. You know, 6 to 8 weeks, and you're ready to butcher them. But
right.
Javas, the pullets will be pretty well fully developed by 5 to 6 months, mm-hmm. and they'll be laying then.
Yep.
And the cockerels take them a long time to put on meat if. They'll develop the skeleton first, and then by the time they get the meat put on them, they'll be almost a full year old before you can see the full shape of them. They look pretty rangy up to that time.
So they have a long, awkward teenage stage.
They have a very long, awkward teenage period. They'll put the skeleton on first, and then it takes a while for the meat and the muscle to catch up to it. But by the time they're 10 or 11 months old, the cockerels will be looking pretty solid, be looking a lot better.
Uh-huh. Now, do you eat any of these chickens yourself, or you just raise them for eggs and entertainment?
I raise them for eggs and selling eggs, hatching eggs to people all across the country.
Uh-huh. Wow.
I do a lot of that.
Uh-huh. And how many of these do you have?
Right now, for winter time, I've kept about 45 over winter.
Wow, that's a good number. Wow.
It's a good number, but it's a small flock.
Uh-huh.
But I generally get down just to the breeders over winter. Makes stores a lot easier that way.
Is there more of a demand, do you find, for this breed of chicken now?
I usually get 6 to 8 requests a year for eggs or birds.
Wow. Uh-huh.
I do most of it shipping birds. I have to go 30 miles to the post office to ship live birds, so I don't do that.
Yeah. Well, you're way out there.
Oh, yeah, I'm out in the sticks.
Yeah. But, sounds it. 30
but
miles.
I can ship eggs from the post office that's closer than that.
Uh-huh.
So I ship most of the eggs. I'll sell birds if I'm at a show or somebody comes to the house and pick them up, but I just don't ship live birds.
Yep.
And where are you located?
I'm in Plevna, Kansas.
So we're all over the place geographically today on All Paws Pet Talk.
Yes,
a real detailed map you might find Plevna, but we're about 70 miles northwest of Wichita.
Wow. Boy, you're out there.
Yeah, we're out here. Farming country.
God. And now, what's the other breed chickens? You have Bantam chickens of what kind?
I have Dominiques.
Mm-hmm.
Delawares, white leghorns, single comb Nankins.
Wow, those are unusual.
Buff Plymouth Rocks, a few Partridge Plymouth Rocks. And I guess that's about it.
Wow.
That's probably enough.
Yeah. That's many, more than a lot of people.
How many chickens total do you have? You know, counting everybody.
Oh, right now for over winter, I've got about 200.
Oh, that's a good flock. That is a good flock.
Yeah, I started out, had quite a few more than that till I sold a few to the chicken buyer that sells them off for various reasons, but he picked up 500 in August, so I got down a little bit, helped the feed bill.
It does. I know what that's like. Yeah. I just got rid of turkeys, and boy, that cut my feed bill by a third.
Yeah. They like to eat.
I guess so. Wow. So that's interesting.
Are there different predators that you have to worry about in Kansas than we would have to up in Boston or Joe down in Florida?
Well, the only predators I have problem with around here are possums, skunks, and a few hawks.
Yep. No coyotes out there?
No. Oh, we got coyotes, but they don't come into the farm, into the house.
Uh-huh.
I can hear them across the road out in the pastures, but they don't come into close here.
Uh-huh. So you have the hawk problem, too. That's what I have down here. You know, we have a lot of problems with hawks and owls down here.
Yeah. We get a few owls, but not very many. I haven't heard an owl holler for quite a while.
Wow.
But I keep the bantams in covered pens so the hawks can't get to them, but they won't bother the big birds too much.
Uh-huh. Now,
they're
do you
pretty good-sized hawks to haul the Java off.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Do you bury your wire in the ground like I do down here for raccoons so they can't dig them out and get underneath into your coop?
No, I'm too lazy to dig a hole to plant it. I just put it across the top. Everybody stays in pretty well, and I'll set live traps for the skunks and the possums.
Yeah, I do that too.
Carry them off, but most things don't have anything digging around too much around here.
Boy, down here it's easy because it's sandy. You know, the soil is sandy, easy to dig. There's no rocks.
Well,
the possum and the coons. Boy, that's the first place they head. So I got to catch them alive traps out here. I keep three of those traps going all the time. And it's nothing to get 7-8 coons out of here a week.
Well, you need a trapping license, Bert.
I guess.
Gentlemen, we are just about out of time for this segment. Monty, will you stick with us?
Well, I reckon so.
All right. We'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust, mites, and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's pawsandsilk.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
She said, we
rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk. And we are on the line with Monty Bowen, the vice president of the SPPA, which deals with rare chickens and old chickens, not old age-wise, but old breed-wise. And yeah, we were talking about your Java cocks and your bantam of different species. What's the size difference for people who are new or just interested in chickens but have never owned a chicken? What's the size difference between a regular chicken and a bantam version?
Well, according to the literature you can read, a bantam chicken should be one-fifth, approximately, the size of its large fowl counterpart.
Mm.
So if you've got a large Java that weighs 10 pounds, a bantam Java should weigh around 2 pounds.
Wow, interesting.
This is a general rule of thumb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the same with Plymouth Rocks and anything else.
Now, Where we've been talking a lot about the Javas. Where are they from in the world? Where did they originate?
Java.
There you go, Karen.
Indonesia, down in the Indonesian area of the world. Mm-hmm. They were first imported to the U.S. in about 1835.
Mm-hmm.
And they traveled across the country with the pioneers. I don't think they ever got too far past Ohio and Illinois as far as traveling with the pioneers, because they, along about 1860, 1870, they were popular on the farmsteads, but they started a slow decline around that time.
I was going to say, I don't think I've ever seen that breed down here. I never have.
Yeah, I think they pretty much went from New York and Pennsylvania pretty much straight west, and then they've spread out, it's been from that area. Because I've never seen any writing or any history at all of them being anywhere south or in the far west.
Yeah, like I said, I've never seen them down here. And I've been to a few chicken shows, and I know I've never seen them.
Yeah.
Wow, that's unusual.
Now, are they a bird that would do well in the hot humidity of Florida, or are they better in the colder climates like New York and Illinois and Ohio?
They're pretty adaptable. It gets hot here in the summertime, up to 110 degrees and so. I seldom lose a bird to heat. Of course, I have a lot of shade in the backyard, but they adapt to the heat well. You just make sure they have plenty of cool, fresh water several times a day. And they seem to do well in the winter. It gets down to 10 degrees or down around zero a little bit here in the winter. I don't have any problem with it.
That was a pretty versatile chicken. A lot
very
of them are.
Versatile. Yeah. Very versatile. There's folks out in Washington and Oregon that keep flocks of them, and they're doing well there. They do well up in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think it was more just a sort of a fashion thing that they fell out of favor, a popularity thing?
Well, that and it. The Java was used to create a lot of other breeds. The long straight back on the Rhode Island Red came from the Java.
Oh, wow.
And the Javas were used in a lot of breeds. The Plymouth Rocks, all the Plymouth Rocks are descended from Javas.
Jeez, interesting.
The Java was used to create the Plymouth Rocks.
Hmm.
A lot of the composite breeds that are very popular today, the Plymouth Rocks, the Wyandottes, they all have Java heritage.
Wow, that's interesting.
Java was considered the second oldest breed in the United States.
Oh, really?
The Dominique being first, yes.
Hmm. I'm sorry, which one is first?
The Dominique. Or as we folks call them out here, Dominickers.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Jim, we're still learning here. That's great. Wow.
Most of the popular breeds today are composite breeds made from either the Dominique or the Java originally.
Now, what's the difference between the Dominique and the Java? Besides, you know, they come from different places and they have different names. Is the Dominique a smaller bird or?
Yeah, it's smaller and it has a whole different body carriage. the type on the bird is completely different. It's more upright and shorter backed, taller on the leg.
Hmm.
It's a lighter weight bird. An adult male only weigh about 6 pounds, 6.5. And the hens are better production birds. They're built more for egg laying.
Wow.
Oh, okay, so that would make sense that why that was folded into some of the composite breeds if they're good laying hens.
That's right. But, the Dominique's much lighter bird than the Java.
And
it has a different comb type. Your Java has a single comb. The Dominique is a rose comb.
Yeah, I see that, yeah. And that's also a black and white chicken.
Yeah. It's an irregular barring on it.
Yeah, well, they're pretty good size, 7 pounds.
Yeah.
And five-pound hens. Birds. Yeah.
Yeah, they're a good meat bird and egg bird both. They're a utility breed.
Hmm.
A lot of the old farmers and ranchers had Dominiques on the farms because they could be eaten and they put out a good supply of eggs.
Yeah, I was just looking here at the breed. They said in the 1950s they thought they were extinct. Wow.
Yeah, they were... Well, there again, they went out of popularity, and everybody had to have the poster chicken of the month, you know, whatever was popular at the time. And the Dominique got very low in numbers for quite a while.
Wow.
And then the Dominique Club of America came back strong and started supporting the breed. And now they're up in good numbers. You quite often see Dominiques in large fowl and bantams both at the shows.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's funny because, you know, those of us who are not on the farm don't think that chickens can go in and out of fashion, you know. I just think chickens are chickens.
Yeah. Back when I started, when I was a kid, the Wyandottes were just becoming very popular.
Huh.
And now that's all you hear and see is Wyandotte this and Wyandotte that.
And Orpingtons, yeah.
And Orpingtons.
Everybody has, yeah. Everybody has Orpingtons.
Yeah. But, they come and go.
Uh-huh.
They go in cycles, just like everything else.
It's true. That's why I joined, the Antique Chicken Club is to get into the antique chickens. You know, to get some of the real, real rare ones. They just fascinate me. I just enjoy them so much.
Yeah. And the thing to remember about that, when you find some of these breeds that have been out of popularity for so long, you can't expect them to be picture perfect, but you can work with them over the time and build them back up to where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, that's what we were talking to somebody about that, and they said, a lot of these were let go, and they're not what they originally were.
That's right. That's right. They've gone downhill, and we're working toward getting them back to the standard that calls for and getting the size up in quite a few of them. That's one thing that's happened to a lot of the rare breeds. They've gotten smaller over the years because people don't work with keeping the size up.
Right.
Yeah. You can find Javas in several places in the country, but some of them are a little small, and they've just not been cared for properly and bred properly so that the size remains where it should be.
So you're keeping yours up there, right? I assume they're up around 9, 10 pounds for the...
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. If that's a small bird, it doesn't go in the breeding pen.
That's interesting. Yeah, these Dominiques look, right behind them here in size, too.
Yeah, they're a good bird. They're a good-sized bird.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, plenty of meat on them that you can feed a family on one, or you can have plenty of eggs for household use and sell a few extras on the side.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, are they good egg layers?
Oh, yeah. Wow. The Javas are rather seasonal, but I tell people with all these old breeds, they know when to lay and hatch a clutch of chicks, so in the late winter and spring, eggs are very plentiful. Long toward late summer and fall, they slack up and they rest a while.
Monty, I'm going to have to let you go. We are running out of time here. I want to thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah.
And, anybody who wants to look up some of these rare chickens, that's Google is good for that, and he is part of the Society for Preservation of Poultry Antiquities. Folks, we'll be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Now, I'm Karen Watts, Karen at petoftheday.com. And before I forget, if you ever want to listen to the show or find out about our hosts, our website is allpaws, P-A-W-S, PetTalk.com. That's the radio show for the website. And you can also listen to the shows anytime streaming online at WPET, so WPetTalkRadio.com. And that's streaming 24/7. And so we're here with Country Joe and his chickens and his chicken show. Did you have some chicken news you wanted to discuss today, Joe?
Well, I was just going through and looking at all my chicken books, and I was just amazed. Of course, turkey season, Thanksgiving has just passed and the whole thing. And I was just looking at the turkey facts. And here in the U.S., this really surprised me. Last year, per person, everybody ate 16.5 pounds of turkey per person. And I thought, my God. And
that's a lot, especially because I know a lot of vegetarians, so that means a lot of people are eating more than that.
Yeah, I'm thinking, then I get to thinking about it, and I said, well, gee, because you just think of eating turkey like on the holidays, but I guess, when you go to the Subway and you get a turkey sub or that sort of thing, that's where all the turkeys are coming in. But, so then I was looking into it more, and 224 million turkeys were raised, last year. 46 million were eaten on Thanksgiving, 22 million eaten on Christmas. So I'm thinking, where'd all the rest go? And that's what it came out to. They said, people eat turkey year-round, whether you know it or not, I guess. I didn't really think about it all that much, but 16.5 pounds of turkey per person is a lot of turkey. So
that's right,
I guess,
but when you get your deli sandwich, you ask for, the turkey and ham and bacon and lettuce and tomato, and you don't think of that as the bird as much as you think of that gorgeous roast that's sitting in front of you at holiday time.
Yeah, and then I was thinking about it. We just had our fair down here. Of course, we're in the South, and the fairs usually come in late like this. And there was a couple of stands up there, and one of them was selling turkey legs, just turkey legs. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. So there's some more turkey. So I guess if you stop and pick it apart, you'll see that people really do eat a lot of turkey. That's
right. And all the medieval fairs, you know, if you go to medieval manor or other medieval sort of theme restaurants, they always have big old turkey legs because those are really more impressive than somebody gnawing on a little bitty chicken leg.
It's true. You know, so that was really interesting. And then, the other thing, of course, you know, like I say, being, you know, raising eggs and stuff, I was looking at some of these farms, especially in California. I was just amazed. There's one farm out there, Karen, that processes 1 million eggs a day. Can you imagine the size of that farm? It's just
good. Gracious.
1 million eggs a day. And I'm thinking, you know, and I know some of these chicken farms go forever and ever, but they wash them, grade them, you know, and the whole thing. They package the eggs for consumption, but they also make them into the liquid eggs, like in a half gallon or gallon containers for restaurants and bakeries and so on and so on. And that was just amazing. I was watching that on the web, and it was just boggled my mind to watch. It was just conveyor belt after conveyor belt of eggs just going through the washer and the processors, and they have machines that'll break the egg clean, and the egg falls down into the containers. It was just, that was really fascinating, and you know, it made my egg farm here, you know, and I'm looking at like 300-400 layers out here look like nothing, you know, compared to my gosh, it was just, that was amazing. I just didn't realize the amount of eggs that we consumed here a day, you know, and you know, bakery goods and restaurants, and never mind just buying for, you know, your house. Well, that really amazed me too.
When you sell your eggs, one thing that I've wondered since we've started doing the show together is, do you have to candle the eggs? That's something that my dad had to do as a child. Mm-hmm. And that's something that my great uncle, when he was in his last years, he had Alzheimer's. Yep. And sometimes I would go in and he would be doing something with his hands. And my dad, whose uncle he was, could always identify what he was doing. And several times he said, oh, his hands are making the we're candling eggs motion.
Yep. And that's why, if you notice, most of the eggs at restaurants and big industries, they always get white eggs because they're easier to candle, to look through. Brown eggs are harder to look through. And that's why the thing, because I mean, actually a brown egg and a white egg, there is actually no difference at all. That's the funny part, Karen. When I first started this, I had white layers and I had brown layers, and I'd go to the farmer's market, and I'd always come home with white eggs, and the brown eggs would sell out. And I could never figure that out. You know, people say, oh, brown egg is better for you and this and that. And I've talked.
Well, when I was a kid up here in New England, there was a whole ad campaign, which was brown eggs are local eggs and local eggs are fresh. So,
yeah. And there's nothing, other than the color. They're identical, and it's true, because when I had them here, they were in different coops. They ate the same food. I bought them the same day, you know, from the day-old hatchery, and raised them. There was just nothing, and I talked to so many people about it in the egg industry, and they said, no, absolutely, there's not, one's not better for you than the other. They're identical, but the white egg has just always been a commercial egg because it's easier to candle and look through. And what you're looking for when you candle is you're looking for a little bit of blood spots in there. Sometimes a chicken will pass that as they form the egg, and that's what you look for. I mean, it wouldn't hurt you, but it's just not nice to open an egg and you go, ugh, you know, it just doesn't look appetizing. So that's the main reason why you candle eggs.
That's what I was going to ask. Are you looking for double yolks? Are you looking for, so you're looking for blood spots to get those out of the commercial?
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, you know, like I say, it's just not appetizing. If you crack one open, you see a little blood speck, and most of the time they're very, very, very small. But it's just enough where you'd throw the egg away and go, "Oh, the whole dozen's ruined." Really, it's not. And people, you know, right away they think, "Oh, these eggs must be really old," and they're not. It's just every now and then a little blood vessel get caught down in there. So that's why they candle. That's the main reason for candling eggs. And it's just the candling comes from, in the old days, they actually used a box with a candle that had a hole in front of it that reflected the light. That name always stuck after that. But of course, obviously, we don't use candles today. It's just high intense bulbs that the egg passes in front of, a screen, and you can look right straight through the egg, you know. It's almost like an X-ray kind of thing. So it's done really, really fast. And
I was going to say, it was from the motions of Uncle Mac's hands, you know, he was doing many eggs a minute.
Yes.
And so, it just must have been something that he did. He was a mechanic, truck mechanic, his whole life. Uh-huh. And he went to the first school for mechanics that existed in this country, because, of course, automobiles have only been around a limited period of time. But he also always had a farm. So I guess, you know, a lot of his life was spent not only fixing cars, but candling eggs and caring for livestock.
But I'm sure, you know, candling eggs now on these million egg farms must be right down to a science. It has to be done by a computer or something. I never did see how they did that, but that ought to be interesting to look at that. But that's something else I was going to look into, because I just get curious to see how they do the big production farms. You know, I do it the old-fashioned way here, and I like it. But sometimes when I'm candling eggs, it'll take me an hour. You know, because I just take my time and look at them and whatnot. But that's all part of the deal. But and incidentally, I don't hardly ever get an egg with blood in it. Very rarely, you know. Mm-hmm. It's either when they're just starting to lay or on the end, you know, when they're getting older. That seems to be. But right in the middle, it's pretty good. So that's the story with that.
I always wondered why eggs got candled. Yep. You know, we are running out of time for this segment, but folks, I want to tell you, Country Joe, Chicken Joe, and I will be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Now, we were just talking about candling eggs and what are some of the other processes you go through getting eggs ready for the market, getting eggs ready to sell to people, for those people who have more than three chickens so aren't eating, you know, consuming all their own eggs?
Well, what I do is when I gather them out of the barn, the first thing that I look for is cracked or dented eggs. You know, when they step on them, they crack the shell, and bacteria could get into the eggs. So those are culled right away. I get rid of those, and that's the first thing that you do. And then you get them in, and then I have an egg washing machine, and we have organic egg wash. And then you put it in the water, and your water should be around 100 degrees, and that's a preferred temperature for washing your eggs. And it's like air bubbles, and it just you let it go for, I let mine go for about 15 minutes. And then you pull the basket out and you get your clean eggs. And then again, we sort for cracks and anything bad. And then from there, you scale them. I still do the old scale thing. But, you know, after you do thousands and thousands of eggs, I can hold an egg now and pretty much tell you, you know, whether it's a large, a jumbo, or, you know, I've just done so many of them. So I sort them like that. But a lot of my eggs, my people around here just love them mixed. So I'm, they're not fussy. So I'll put the jumbo, well, actually the jumbos don't fit good in the box, but I'll squeeze them in there. But the large, and I get very few small ones now. So they're all generally run large, extra large, and jumbos. So I stick them all in the box. But, on the same token, you know, everybody's, you know, we were talking about how many eggs a hen lays, and the best hen, you know, everybody says an egg a day. Well, it's really not. I mean, all the chicken producers that I talk to, a real excellent hen only lay 250 to 270, 270 eggs a year, and that's really excellent. So when you stop to think about it, it's not even an egg a day, you know. And that was an interesting fact, because I'll notice different days I'll go in the barn and they'll have a good day and then they'll have a bad day. And, you know,
and our first guest was talking about, she has young sons and three hens, and each boy gets a specific day. And she had to explain to them that it's not up to her how many eggs anybody gets to collect on a given day.
It's true, and it's really something, because it takes, I think it's 27 hours for them to produce an egg. So it's really not, you know, 24 hours like everybody thinks. So it's more like 26, 27 hours to produce an egg. So actually you don't get an egg a day. That's why I'm saying every day or every second day, you know, I'll notice I'll get extra dozens. Of course, I'm dealing with a lot of chickens here, but.
Well, yes. You have more than her three.
So, but that's interesting. But yeah, you really learn a lot when you do have your own chickens, and that's really good, you know, for like families, mothers and kids, and fathers and mothers and kids to get in, you know, because that's where you really learn the truth about all that, you know, chickens and how much fun they are, and how they lay eggs and what they do and the whole thing. And then the other thing you're asking me about, they recommend you put when you box eggs, you always put the big end of the egg up on the top. And because that's where the air pocket is, so that's how you do that.
You know, it never occurred to me that was done on purpose. I just thought, you know, that's just the way the machines put them in the boxes when I buy eggs from the supermarket. I am not in a position to have hens of my own at the present time, living in an apartment. But I know that there are lots of people in the city who have eggs, who have hens, who then end up giving their eggs away. So I was wondering what the process was. You know, you have to wash them, I know. But whether you candle them when you're giving them to friends or you let them just take what they get. And how does the size of the egg just depend on the chicken, or can the chicken lay a smaller egg one day and a larger egg the next, depending on how much feed or...
As the chicken gets older, believe it or not, the eggs get bigger, but they get less frequent. A new hen, and now I have some new, what I call new layers, out there that I got a couple of hens that'll lay jumbo eggs. I mean jumbo eggs. You know, I go, oh my God, you know. But generally, they'll all lay just large eggs. You know, once they get through the pullet stage, the young age, when they first start, the eggs are small. They're pullet eggs. And those are the ones I use for pickled eggs when I make pickled eggs. And then within a few weeks, they go to large. And then you'll get some hens that'll lay just jumbos. And it's the same hens all the time. You know, because I did that. I cornered a hen just to see who was laying jumbo egg. But, yeah, they do that. But I notice all my hens, when they get older, it seems like the eggs do get larger. They're less frequent, but they're larger. And
what constitutes older for one of your hens?
The perfect, on these poultry farms, a laying hen is good for 72 weeks. After 72 weeks, they get rid of them. They're still laying, but they don't lay frequently. Like every, as we call it, every day, but every 27 hours, they get a little less. You know, like you may get them every 2 or 3 days. So that's when I sell them to people who don't want an egg every day, so to speak. That's when I sell my chickens, I'll put an ad in the papers or out at the grain mills and stuff, and I'll say, these are older chickens. They're not really older. They're just, you know, when they start laying, you get 72 weeks of peak egg time out of them. And after that, they start to go down. And that's when I sell them. So then that's why you always – it takes 6 months to get your from day-old chicks till they start laying eggs. So I have to plan on the flocks coming behind them to take over. So that's how we do that.
So it's all a matter of timing. And seeing as science keeps changing the number of eggs you're supposed to have per week, you know, if you only have two people in your house, you know, you don't necessarily need an egg every day from each of your three chickens.
So you know, and eggs they'll lay eggs till they're like four or five, and then it's pretty much all done. Then you've got a pet. That's pretty much it. So that's if you're in with the grain being so high and everything that you want to get the most production out of a chicken you can get. So that's why after 72 weeks, you know, they gotta go. So that's how that works. So. That's a real interesting thing, you know, but that's all stuff you learn as you've been in the business a while. And so it's really, you know, going back to the egg a day, it's not really an egg a day. It's close.
It's close, right. And the jumbos, now do you have different cartons that you sell the jumbo eggs in? Because they wouldn't fit in a normal egg carton, would they?
No, they don't. And actually, what I do is I separate all the jumbos, and I have a special cooler just for those. And like, I'll get people that'll come over and have the flats, what they call the flats, that whole 2.5 dozen eggs. You know, it's not really a box. And I'll just give those to people. You could sell them for extra money, but I don't. I just give them to people. I'll say, you want jumbos? And that's where you get your double yolkers and all of that sort of thing. Double yolkers usually come from young hens. They don't quite have it all down to a science yet. So they'll get two yolks in one shell. And that's usually a young hen will do that. And one mature.
That was always like a bonus when we were out at Aunt Shirley's. If she went to cook an egg for you and it was the double yolk one, you felt extra special.
It's true. Yeah, and that's what it is. It's usually the young hens that'll do that. And they do it for a while, and then that slacks off. But, you know, the jumbo eggs, a lot of jumbo eggs now that I get aren't double yolkers. They're just big eggs, you know. And that's the fun thing, you know, to get a double yolker. My grandkids love that, you know, when we get those. They keep saying, get some more of those kind of chickens. I'm getting that. But... I put those on flats, and I tell people, you know, they're jumbo eggs, and they like them. And surprising, Karen, a lot of people don't because they can't store them in the refrigerator. So they really don't care for jumbo eggs. You know, they say, well, I got no place to put them.
You know, well, and if you're baking, you know, the size of the egg does matter. If you end up with a jumbo egg that has way more liquid in it, then you'd have to adjust the amount of flour or the amount of sugar or all the other ingredients. So I can understand them not wanting a jumbo egg if you're going to be baking, but if you're making omelets, hey.
Yeah. But then the other thing, the interesting thing about eggs is, of course, living here, you know, on the ocean and close to, I got three or four people that sail out of here on sailboats and they go to the Bahamas and whatnot, and they don't have refrigeration on their sailboats, and they'll ask me, they'll say, don't refrigerate the eggs, because once an egg's refrigerated, it has to stay refrigerated. But if you think about it, back in the 1800s, there was no refrigeration really. But when an egg first is laid, if you don't refrigerate it, it'll last for a long, long time. There's varying, you know, controversy on how long it'll last. But the sailors will say, don't wash them for me, because when a chicken lays an egg, there's a film that goes over it. It's called a bloom, and that kills all the bacteria from getting into an egg. And
well, you know, we are all out of time here. Folks, you've been listening to Country Joe's Chicken Show on All Paws Pet Talk, and we'll be back next week with more.
I'm a green chicken.